Now, when I was in uni, I studied computer science. And I had this fantastic lecturer in my first year. He was a doctor of computer science, and he was this great source of information and knowledge for me in my studies. So he was always giving us these fantastic illustrations of life to help us understand what we were looking at that day. Now, in one lesson, he was trying to teach us about fallback plans. For when we were creating projects, we had to be ready for anything that could possibly go wrong. For example, some invalid input here or an unexpected error there. And we had to make sure in our work that we were putting in place contingency plans to address these things that could come up. You see, my lecturer didn't want to be the guy who taught the man who brings about the next Y2K scare. So my lecturer gave us one of his famous illustrations. And the illustration that he used was what he called his contingency plan for life. And I think this is a pretty well-known plan. You see, being an atheist, he was going to live his life the way that he wanted to live it. And just before he would die, he would say sorry to God. And because he'd said sorry, he would be covered. You know, not a bad outcome. You see, his contingency plan was that just in case he was wrong about the existence of God, he could rely on saying sorry to God, and because he'd said sorry, God would have to let him into heaven. Now, what's wrong with this plan? Well, Jesus, in our passage today, Jesus has a very strong message to my lecturer. And it's a message that for him means life or death. But it's not only a message for the lecturer, it's a message for you and me. And it's a warning for all of us. And the warning is this: unless you have the right attitude towards God, you will never get into heaven. You see, God's not interested in whether you have just said sorry. He's not bound to let you into heaven just because of something you've said. See, when we go and face God, God's not going to be looking for something that you've said or done to let you into heaven. God's not concerned with these outward actions. No, but you know what God will be looking at? He'll be looking on that day, he'll look down at you past all the actions and the arguments, the excuses, and he'll look down piercing into your heart. He will not care about what you've said or done. He'll be looking at your heart and at my heart, and indeed at my lecturer's heart. And in our passage today, Jesus gives his disciples and us a warning. It's a warning that we need to heed, and it's a warning that you and me and my lecturer need to understand about getting into heaven. Now, to understand this warning, we need to understand what's going on. So here in Luke 18, we have Jesus in the midst of his ministry. He's been teaching his disciples and the people around him about the kingdom of God. That is, he's been teaching these people about the kingdom where God rules and sin has been dealt with, where sadness and evil are no more, and where God lives with his people in eternal glory. And Jesus, as he's been teaching with parables, with stories and illustrations to help people understand how they are to live their life and how they are to gain this eternal life. And as he's been teaching, he's also been healing people. People have been coming to him with sickness and he's been healing them. So at this point, Jesus has become very famous. And if we look back through the Gospel of Luke, we can actually see crowds of people who are flocking to Jesus. And they're coming to him to either hear what he has to say or to be healed by him. And as we reach verse 15 here, we have a number of people who are bringing their children to Jesus. And they're bringing these little babies to Jesus so that he can touch them. But it appears that the disciples have a bit of a problem with this. And it seems that they think it's a bit of a waste of Jesus' time, for Jesus shouldn't be bothered with these little babies. So have a look with me there at verse 15. It says, "The people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them." Now, why would parents want Jesus to touch their little babies. When we look at through Luke at the instances of Jesus touching people, nearly always it's in the action of healing. For Jesus would go and touch them, and he would usually say something like, "You are healed," or "You are forgiven." And Jesus touching them was one of the signs of him healing them. And afterwards, they would go away restored. So it appears that the parents here may want, they're looking for the health and safety of their children. Or perhaps it's about having their children blessed. You see, you know, we've got here a holy man who's preaching the kingdom of God. It would seem right that they would want their kids to be blessed by such a man. In whatever case, we can see that the parents here, they're looking for the security and the well-being of their children. So what then is the problem that the disciples have? For why do the disciples have such a problem with parents bringing their babies to Jesus? And again, we can see there in verse 15, when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. They're telling the people, "No, go away." So why are they telling them? Now, back in the ancient world, children were just in a completely different world to what we have today. Nowadays, we have daycare, public education, specialist education support. We have child psychologists and children's hospitals. But back in those days, children were just not given any special treatment at all. And back in Bible times, children were raised to take over the business that their father did. It was their job to learn the family trade and to support the family when they were old enough. They were hardly ever mentioned. They were just not seen as important. And, okay, think about situations like when Jesus feeds the 5,000. When we look at the gospel accounts, we can actually see that this headcount of 5,000 is of men. It's of adult males. The children just don't warrant being counted. And if we look at the account in the Gospel of Matthew, we can actually see, yes, the children are mentioned, but they're not in the head count. They're mentioned as an aside with the women. They were just not important. So you see, children were just not important at the time, and here we have a number of parents who are bringing babies to Jesus. So the disciples would have been thinking, what a waste of time. Jesus shouldn't be bothered with these little kids. So they're saying, go away, leave Jesus alone. Don't bother the Lord with these little children. But you see, Jesus has a very different view of little children. And this view of children is fundamental to understanding the kingdom of God. And the disciples hadn't understood this yet. You see, there was a mindset behind their actions that needed to be addressed. So the very first thing Jesus does is he addresses them. We can see it there in verses 16 and 17. In these verses, Jesus challenges his disciples on three different challenges, on three set of levels. Firstly, he challenges them to change their actions. And then he challenges them in their understanding of the situation, what's actually going on here. And lastly, he challenges them with a warning. And it's a warning that they need to heed because it's a warning that tells them about their eternal well-being. So have a look with me from the second part of verse 16 there. So we've got, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." So that's the challenge to their actions. Let the children come. "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." That's the start of the challenge to their understanding of what's going on. And the warning, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Now, let's first look at this first response of Jesus to the situation. For Jesus tells his disciples, "Let the children come to me." But he actually goes even further than that. He says, "And do not hinder them." You see, the disciples' reactions were a barrier to the kids coming to Jesus. They were stopping him from accessing the Lord. Now, as Christians, who should we want to be saved? Yeah, and I can tell you, our desire should be that everybody can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly shouldn't be excluding people on the basis of age, and we certainly shouldn't be excluding little kids from being able to come and hear about Jesus. No, children are to be nurtured and to be raised in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord. And that's why here at St. Paul's we have such a big focus on children. We have an amazingly large group of people who dedicate themselves on a Sunday morning to raise and nurture these kids in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Did you know we actually have 6 different children's programs that currently run on a Sunday morning, with another one starting next year? And all of this is so that the children here at St. Paul's are not excluded from hearing about the wonderful Lord Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. And it's so that they, too, can have the opportunity to come and know God. So Jesus is telling his disciples that the children, they are important to him. Don't hinder the kids from coming to Jesus. Now, I have to tell you, as a leader of kids here at St. Paul's, it's such a great blessing to be able to include these children in hearing God's word. And I can tell you, it can sometimes get pretty hairy. You know, the kids don't always... They remember the oddest points about the Bible. Not so much the points that you're trying to get across to them, but they retain these great points. And you wouldn't believe the questions that they can come up with. The questions that get raised cover the widest range of uncomfortable topics that you could ever think of. So on one hand, recently we just did a series on the book of Esther in Extreme. And I had to, as delicately as possible, explain to the kids of that age group what a eunuch was. I took the king's special guard for that age group. I left that for the older explanation. And so that's on one hand. And on the other hand, I've had kids come up to me and ask, how can I be with Jesus in heaven? You see, there are children who have a sincere yearning to be with Jesus. And there are kids who specifically want to make sure that they will be with Jesus in heaven. How can we exclude kids from that? So Jesus challenges the disciples on their actions. Let the children come to me. And Jesus then goes on and gives his disciples the reason that they need to change. He does this by challenging their understanding of the situation. Now, the disciples, what is it the disciples hadn't understood yet? Well, we can see it there in verse 16. Read with me. So it says, "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, little kids. Now, as we saw before, these children were insignificant. They were unimportant. And they were certainly not what the disciples would have thought of when it came to thinking about the kingdom of God. But Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That is, the kingdom belongs to these little people that you've been so quickly dismissing. Now this raises the question, what is so special about these little kids? What makes them so special that the kingdom of God belongs to such as them? And more so, does this mean that the kingdom of God does not belong to the adults? And are adults excluded from this kingdom of God? Well, no. And we can see in verse 17 what it is there that Jesus wants them to understand. And what he wants them to understand is it is about the attitude that they have towards God. They need to understand the way that they are to approach God as to receive the kingdom of heaven. So look with me at verse 17 there. It says, "Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child..." Let's leave it there. The disciples, they're being challenged here to see that there is something in the nature of these little children that's different. And they're being challenged to see that this different nature of children is the key to receiving the kingdom of heaven. And there is indeed something about the nature of adults which is becoming a barrier to receiving the kingdom. Now, this difference is made clear in the warning that Jesus gives his disciples. And the warning, it comes in those last few words of verse 17. So I'll read verse 17 again for us. "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Now this would have shocked the disciples to the core. You see, they were like Jesus' right-hand men, for they had followed Jesus and they'd done what they were told. And they would have been so sure that if anybody was to be included in this kingdom, it would be them. It would have seemed like a sure bet. But Jesus says to them, no, if you don't change and be like these little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So what does this leave the disciples thinking? Well, the natural question that gets raised is, how on earth can I receive the kingdom of heaven like a little child? What is the attitude that I need to have when I approach God so that I can be included in this kingdom of heaven? Well, I think that there are two things that we need to understand about little children from this passage. And the first thing is dependence. You see, as a child, you're completely dependent on your parents for everything. You depend on them for your home, for the roof over your head. You depend on them for your food and your shelter, for your warmth and safety. And you depend on them to be looking out for your well-being. And you indeed depend on your parents to be raising you in the right way to live. But as an adult, what do we depend on? Well, to survive, we tend to depend on our job, on getting paid. And we depend on our hard work so that we can afford things like our home, our food, shelter, safety. You see, as an adult, if we're not careful, we tend to start to depend on ourselves for survival. And we begin to get caught up in fending for ourselves so that we can overcome any challenge that life throws to us. It becomes all about us. You see, Jesus here is pointing to the children because of their dependent nature. And he's showing the disciples these babies so that they know how they are to approach God and how to receive his kingdom of heaven. And it is in dependence in God as their father. So, dependence is one thing that the disciples really needed to get from this, and I think the other thing that needed to be grasped is humility. You see, just as we've seen, children were in a really low part of society. They were not well respected, not well regarded. You see, the position of a child back then was a position of humility. It was a position where everybody else around you was above you. And this was something that Jesus preached so often in his preaching. For Jesus would often tell his disciples and the crowd to humble themselves. And just like the babies that these disciples have been sending away, Jesus tells them, be humble and expect harsh treatment just like you're dishing out. And Jesus always gives reassurance when he tells his followers to be humble. And we can even actually see it here in Luke 18. It's just back in verse 14. It says there, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And this was a message that Jesus preached over and over. Humble yourselves, and you will be exalted. So what's Jesus saying here in verses 15 to 17? Well, it's partly saying, humble yourselves, like these little children. Depend on God for your righteousness, and you'll be exalted to the kingdom of heaven. And let's not forget those last few words that Jesus says there in verse 17. So let's look again. I'll read verse 17 for us. "Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The warning to the disciples is a warning that would mean either eternal life or death. And that is, unless you get your attitude right before God, you will never get into heaven. You see, the disciples have been turning away these children, but Jesus says, no, you need to become like these little children. Because if you don't get your attitude right, and if you don't become humble like these little babies, if you don't approach God depending on Him to bring you into His kingdom, then you will never enter it. Quite the opposite. If you don't approach God with the right attitude, trusting in Jesus' work at the cross and trusting in God to bring you into His kingdom, God will not say, come in. God will send you away. You'll find yourself not in God's wonderful kingdom, but excluded eternally from heaven. You'll find yourself in eternal death and suffering, with no chance of ever coming free from that sentence. I began tonight telling you about my lecturer and his contingency plan for life, for if God really did exist. You see, my lecturer was depending on the fact that he could say sorry to God, and because he'd said sorry, God would have to let him into heaven. But my friends, this plan of his is arrogant and it's dangerous. This plan is relying on the fact that we can make God let us in heaven just because we've said, oh, I'm sorry. And friends, this plan, it's all too common in the world. It's a plan where the inner attitude is one of self-sufficiency. It's arrogant and it's an insulting way to approach God, coming to Him saying, you have to let me into heaven because I said I'm sorry. Friends, this is not the way that we should approach God. This is not the attitude that we should have about our Father. Here at Terry Hills, we have been so blessed in ways that I can hardly begin to count. We've been given freedom here in Australia that we can meet together like this. He's given us money and comfort, shelter and safety. He has given us buildings that we can meet in and children to teach. And He has given us a family here at St. Paul's that we can meet together and encourage each other. And He's given us His word that we can study it and we can see His love for us. And let's never forget that God has given His only Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, that through faith in Him, we can receive that kingdom of heaven. So friends, let your attitude be one that recognizes God as your Father. Let your attitude be one that relies on God to bring you into His kingdom and to give you everything that you need. And friends, don't let your attitude be like that of my lecturer, that is proud and is expecting God to bend to His every whim. Friends, how are you approaching God?